settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, a show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In a most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and our non-physical world when my husband Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And this week's show is about suicide. If you'd like to phone us with a question to Gregory or a comment, it's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. And in the U.S., the number is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756, and international callers, it's not toll free, but it's only a quick call, won't cost much, and that's 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST. We have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book an Akashic reading, or perhaps any of the other services that we have to offer, please do go and visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. So, what we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into deep trance, Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the duration of the show. And I won't know about anything else that happens because my spirit and consciousness are transported to somewhere else in the spirit world. Please do look at our website for a better understanding of how we work, because we haven't got time to go through too much information at the beginning of each show, because it would take up way too much valuable time. Before I say goodbye for this week, I'm just going to point out that actually that Sylvie is responsible for the vortex. That's the condition, that the mechanism that the spirit world actually brought about in order to allow this to happen. So it's actually a physical mechanism that we use because of the energy that Sylvie uses, and in fact apparently she has the key to it, so she's got to be here every time that we do this, but it actually makes it means that because of the fact that she's a physical medium, that she's actually able to make and enable this situation to happen, this vortex. And it's basically kind of like a big cylinder of energy that it varies in size. Sometimes it's taller than at other times, but it's actually how the spirit world are able to move very quick, very, very close to me, and then just come into my body kind of like really, really, really quick. And that, it's also how I leave as well, by the same mechanism. Okay, so I hope you understand that. Right, goodbye for me. And that's all I have to say for this week. Goodbye.
Hello to me again.
And hello to you, Mermin.
Okay, well, Gregory had an Earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world. But now he comes back to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. And the white-clad group whom he represents were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They are made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information we bring is without religious bias or political persuasion, as we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. And I'd just like to say that if there's anybody in the Portland area who's listening, we are going to be in the Selwood area of Portland on Saturday at 3 o'clock. At 3 till 5, we have a workshop at a place called, it's a New Age boutique shop called Spirit Feathers, and that's in the Selwood area. So if you'd like to come along and meet us and meet Gregory, have a couple of hours talking to Gregory, we'd love to meet you. And do say that you've come along because you heard us on the radio. That would be really great. Okay. And if you want any more information about that, just go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and then you can email us on enq@spirit-teaching.com. Okay. So, well, I know that we've probably talked about suicide before, but it seems that there's so many varying, conflicting things that are said about suicide that we thought we'd do another show, basically, and then so that the spirit world can actually straighten us out on a few things. And, if you'd like to phone us with a question, maybe it's something that's personal to you, touched your life with a friend or a loved one, or if it's just something that you're interested in finding out about, then do give us a call. It's toll-free. In the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. And in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International callers, it's not free. 001-530-876-3222. Okay. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light, dear friend.
Thank you.
Hello.
Oh, how are you today?
I am very well, never better, thank you, as it is always in the spirit world.
Okay, so suicide, this is something that actually you suggested that we did, wasn't it?
Yes, quite so. Because, of course, it is something which touches many people's lives in physical form. Many people actually are very distressed by it, by what happens. But also we have to say that we can see that suicide can also be a quite a beautiful thing as well.
Okay.
Strange for me to say, perhaps one would think. And I do understand that many people have very many different views. Some of them are quasi-spiritual or religious, that perhaps for some specific regions, reasons of their religious indoctrination, that they have been, they have demonized suicide in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe and understand in many people's views and values over this that, of course, you would think then that if all the major religions of the world adopted the premise that suicide is something of a tragedy, but also something of a form of complaint against God, if you'd like, a way of actually taking matters into your own hands that you should not actually have an ability to achieve yourself. And in many respects, friends, that is actually why it is that suicide is such a difficult situation to come across with, to understand fully as to why people carry it out, why people do it. It is usually, of course, in many respects, to do with the fact that people have a great difficulty in putting themselves into other people's lives, to other people's shoes, quite simply because they do not understand the graphic detail of the issues of that physical life and what has actually brought them to this place. Suicide itself, of course, may actually be the result because a person perhaps is facing some chronic illness,
mm-hmm,
and does not wish to go through the resulting pain, particularly, I would have to say, if they're a medical practitioner or something like that, and they actually know what kind of passing, what kind of physical death they're going to have to face.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of the fact of the modern medicines and that kind of thing that you have, some ways of the that the physical body state breaks down in order for you as a spirit being are enabled to pass from the physical life, some ways that this occurs are, to some people, most frightening. Of course, as I say, especially to medical practitioners. So you may well have situations where some medical practitioners will merely shoot themselves or something, or perhaps take a large amount of poison or barbiturates or whatever it is in order to actually make this come about. Of course, there are those who will try suicide as a state or a way of actually sending an alarm bell to loved ones, perhaps in some way of grabbing their attention because perhaps they had tried to impart the knowledge or the sacrifices or the situations of their own physical life that they were going through and the troubles and turmoils and that kind of thing, but no one was listening.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, in that sense, it is a way of attracting the family's attention.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, sometimes you will have situations whereby, shall we say, the person takes paracetamol or aspirin or something like that, a huge bucket load of them, in order to make sure that the job is done. But then, of course, that's a very slow and agonizing passing, in actual fact, because it employs the total destruction of the liver and kidneys in the process, and that's a very painful experience for any physical being to go through. So, some, of course, because it actually takes so long as well for that experience to happen, that it means to say that some actually recover enough to actually not want to pass, that they change their mind.
They can be rescued, yeah.
Well, sometimes, yes.
They can be rescued,
but
and
other
then
times
are left
not.
Ill anyway.
Yes.
And we're not condoning any form of suicide, and we're not saying that, you know, actually, it's a fantastic idea, you know, go try it.
No, I am not at all.
But there's obviously situations that we're going to have to discuss. There's got to be pros and cons to everything. So
yes, of course.
And this is the sort of thing that we're going to try and chew over today.
Yes, and chew well, I hope.
And chew well, yes, absolutely. And like I said, if anybody else wants to join us with a question, it's toll-free in the US, 877-876-5227. Canada 888-815-9756. International callers, it's not toll free, it's a small fee, 001-530-876-3222. Yes. I think one of the things, I think there's so many myths surrounding this subject, actually, I think it's going to be interesting to find out, see if we can get some truth straight from the horse's mouth, as it were. You're the horse, by the way.
I'll put on my horse's hat, then,
there is quite a famous medium that actually says that committing suicide is like reneging on one's life contract, and that by doing that without a very good reason, you would somehow directly make your soul reincarnate after passing so that you won't be able to escape the lessons that you were supposed to learn had you not committed suicide.
Yes, but this actually takes in the premise that there are lessons, very specific lessons, that each person has to learn, and each lesson that is learned is incremental to their own passage of life.
It also says there's reincarnation.
We'll get to that in a moment. The point is that this surmises then that there are very specific lessons for a person to learn, and that each person has different lessons to learn. Fair enough, some people might say, but in actual fact that also bespokes the event that there is some other ulterior motive other than understanding the difference and the love vibration which can happen in a physical life, in having a physical existence. That, after all, is the whole reason why spirit, in the spirit world, have a physical existence in the first place. So, if it was to learn very specific situations of learned lessons or whatever, then you would not be having a free will existence. The whole point of having a a physical life from the spirit point of view is that you have a free will existence, exactly the same as it happens and transpires in the spirit world. Nothing is foretold or preconceived. There are no situations whereby you can say that your life is going through the certain passage that it is. Perhaps you are suffering from some terrible, dreadful disease, or because, perhaps some would have it, that you have had a failed previous incarnation, or that you were this other person who in a previous life did obnoxious things, therefore you are going to succumb to this ravages of this disease, and that is your penance as a form of karmic attribute that you have to make and swallow within your life in order to try to understand a little bit better about the next life that you're going to go on, the idiosyncrasy roundabout of good news and fair-weathered living condition. The point is really to say that this, of course, is mere conjecture and is not fact. It is purely coming from the basis that human beings must obviously continue to rehash their physical life, even if they don't remember the last one, or if they don't remember the one that they've had so many hundreds of lives before that, or thousands of lives before that, of course, if you're an ascended being. So the situation appears to be then that the actual spiritual value of your life is something that is at the epoch. It is at the closing state of who you are as a spirit person. It means to say then that you must be a being of great detriment, however, if it means to say that you are suffering from some poor and disenabling disease that you are suffering from, purely and simply, because it would mean, surely, that if you are suffering from such disease, then you have brought it about yourself because of your karma from some past life. And similarly, I have to say, dear friends, that it is quite wrong to say that suicide is against the practicing of the whole cycle of spirit value. Because then you are condemning those people who have and exercise their free will right, in fact, to pass with dignity. Perhaps they do not want to actually go through the ravages of some disease, particularly if they are at the end stages of it. If they are experiencing great difficulties in swallowing, like every time that they do that, it's like razor blades across their face or across their throat or something like that. Each time that they do that brings so much pain they cannot even hardly eat or swallow water. You really want that to carry on? For what purpose? Do you see that as an advantage of the spirit or of the physical life or of the spiritual journey? Does it mean to say that human beings must, by all accounts, suffer from their physical passing in order to bring home or drive home some account of their karmic attribute from some previous life?
So basically, committing suicide has absolutely nothing to do with karma.
No.
Or reincarnation.
No.
Or any lessons that you were supposed to learn?
No, not at all.
Right.
It's a situation that we in the spirit world, obviously, we do not want someone in the physical life to come to such a state whereby they feel that there is nothing left for them and that the only course to their life is to take their own life, particularly if it's some violent way. Some people use poisoning. Other people use implements or instruments to do this. Whatever use or value you have in your physical life, perhaps there may well be some avenues that you can take with those loved ones around you that perhaps you may be able to mend some situation that have driven you to this point, particularly if you are not actually suffering from a physical ailment, but actually rather you are dealing with some distressful emotional issue. And I do understand this, that for many people in physical life, the distress that they may encounter and win out within their physical life is something just too much to bear. And that for some, they just cannot cope with it.
Well, I don't think anybody would do it lightly. There are accidents where, like you say, it's a cry for help.
Yes. And then perhaps they could take that too far something like that.
Yes, but I don't think anybody does it lightly. So,
it's quite a symptom, really, of the pattern of the way human beings live and the way in which it is quite understandable that perhaps from a humanist point of view,
mm-hmm.
that you would seek to perhaps take an easier route than the one that you can see upon your horizon of life. And we really do understand that. Perhaps you could say, well, then in some respects, that it actually takes an awful lot of courage for someone to actually go ahead and do that. I'm not making light of this at all. I'm really, in a sense, playing devil's advocate. I have nothing to do with the devil, of course. but in this respect, I am just saying that you have to look at many different angles of the description of the suffering that people go through in order to fully understand, well, is it a possibility that a family may actually help this brother or sister who is suffering so? That is usually one of the situations of the symptoms of release that suicidees generally come to find when they actually get to the spirit world. Perhaps we ought to talk really about also what actually happens to them when they get to the spirit world.
Oh, well, absolutely. That's going to be one of my questions, yes. So, what happens when they get... No, absolutely. I mean, we all know somebody, I think, that's committed suicide, or we know of somebody.
Yes.
And I'm sure there's situations that you can think of, everybody can think of, where they feel that they wish they could have done more had they known that this person was so far along the road way.
Yes.
What happens... Yeah, okay, so what happens in the spirit world to alleviate the person's pain and anguish that couldn't be done on the earth plane with friends?
Yes. Now, I understand that...
Excuse me, everybody. Gregory's coughing. Which is quite an interesting thing.
I am so sorry. That is a different situation for me. We actually had to... It's quite difficult to expel such a large amount of air in order for the throat to, and the larynx and everything else to work the way it should.
Okay, are you okay? Do you need water or anything?
I think we will be all right now.
Okay.
Yes. So the situation is then that usually comes about that people in the family group would say, well, surely we gave them enough love, we gave them enough of this or that attention or whatever. Obviously not. But that isn't to say that the onus then comes upon the family that they did not do enough.
Well, sometimes you don't know that you're not doing enough if the person is not explaining how
not
bad they're feeling. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So communication really is the key. And the point I have to say for those in stressful situations, if you are the family involved, you need to get to communicate. That is the key. Communication is always the key to any suicidal problem that a person may face. And I'm not talking here about someone who has elected to make a suicidal pact over a specific problem. So let us take that to one side, and we'll have to talk about that afterwards.
Yeah.
The situation we are facing here, perhaps, shall we say, it's a loved one who has decided that their journey in life has just not resulted in the things that they wanted to achieve. Or perhaps they've made mistakes with their children and feel that their children have become spoiled and that they are selfish or something like that. And so perhaps the person, being such a sensitive soul, actually feels that they have made grave errors, the gravest of errors, really, in their charges to do with the continuation of physical life, that they have in some way unleashed some terrible demons upon the land of physical matter. And of course, we completely understand with this, and what makes these particular people, this section of society, actually want to take their own lives. And of course, for some people, it may well be that they are so communicable with their own physical state that they can actually shut their own body system down at will and not actually require any medication to actually do it.
Oh, really? You can...
Oh, yes.
Okay. I mean, heard of that if you're ill.
Yes.
If you're already ill, that you can actually decide that you don't want to live.
Yes.
And gradually...
Yes.
Shut down.
Yes, but actually, my friend, you can as well actually make yourself move into that scope and manner of reasoning as well.
But you'd have to be quite depressed.
Oh, I think, yes, you would have to be
ill
in
another
mentally
way.
Ill,
mentally
then,
ill
in that
and
respect.
Emotionally, yes.
Yes, yes, quite so.
Okay.
So in that respect, then, it is really to do with the spirit world and what happens afterwards that we have of great interest, of course, because... And it's not to say that love doesn't exist in the physical reality, but what you have to understand is that love in the spirit world is something else entirely different to that of physical life. In physical life, you rely very heavily upon the emotional state of mind in order to bring love about.
Mm-hmm.
Love in the physical side of life is an emotional state, and it is driven partly by pheromonic activity, by the enmity of chemical reactivity during your physical life, the things that fire off serotonin or other excellent chemicals which exist in your physical body system to enable you to feel love and feel the emotions and the different changes in your skin and sensitivity which actually happen as a correlation of love that exists as a physical emotion. What actually happens in the spirit world is that love, pure and divine, comes as a part of the pathway of the law, not of attraction, but the law of the universe of God, because God, in an essence, is the energy of love. And the energy of love is what drives the universe, what drives life as well. Without love, you would not have life. I know that perhaps you may perceive that you have two microbes and they're not actually making love when they actually split or become more than they were before. They're not actually thinking. They don't think in terms of love, one would think. Do not have emotional context to do with that, as they're having a physical life. But the point to make here is that, in fact, during the life existence in the spirit world, love becomes and is a very definite part of the spirit journey, quite simply because love is a part of God. And that, in essence, is the energy of the universe.
Mm.
So it means to say, then, that when we have a suicidee who passes to our side of life, the first thing we do is to encircle that person in absolute love in order to try to make them better and well. To try to show them that the great decision that they took themselves, whatever connotation you wish to put upon that as a religious standpoint, is that you are making a justification and a decision upon that person's activity. You are not in their lifetime. You are not experiencing the destruction of their energy or the destruction of their conscious state. You are not driven to the depths of their misunderstanding or their gravity of life.
Yeah, despair.
Yes. So you are always going to be making a judgment upon someone else. And that, of course, is your prerogative. You have a free will existence to do that. But what we're saying is that in the spirit world, we do not make judgments upon people. People make and form their own judgments about themselves in the spirit world. We understand that there are many beings, billions and billions of them, in the spirit world, who after they've had a physical life journey, continue to make judgments upon others, and as a result, will remain stuck, steadfast, in the same vibrational index that they were when they passed, having had a physical life. So it simply means that that is something which will hold you back in the spirit world from your beautified spirit journey. As a result of this, we do not bring judgment upon people who commit suicide. What we do is we give them love, exactly the same as the kind of love that we give anyone in the spirit world who comes perhaps before their time or perhaps at their time. When is time? When is time for a physical being? When either they decide or when it is decided by someone else or something else, when they fall to the ravages of some illness or when somebody else makes their decision paramount and overpowers the decision of the life dweller to have their physical existence, such as a murder or killing or something like that.
Okay, well, I'd like to say thank you for anybody that may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about suicide. If you have a question related to our subject for Gregory or a comment or something like that that you'd like to discuss, then the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call is toll-free. In the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International callers, it's not toll-free. And the number is 001-530-876-3222. So do they get any form of counselling apart from the love that is enveloped around them and showered upon them? Do they get counselling of what we would call counselling?
Yes, in a form, my dear friend. What actually happens, and this is the same with anyone who passes from physical life in some kind of detriment of their life. So it means to say then that what will happen is for a suicidee, they will be helped by other fellow people who also took their own lives for whatever reason. Sometimes it will be that, shall we say, that the person takes their own life because they perhaps they had a very terrible illness that their physical body was suffering from and they didn't want to go through with that. And so perhaps they decided to take their path with dignity, that they wanted to pass with dignity rather than perhaps losing all of their faculties or perhaps passing with some great distress over their bodily functions or something like that as things broke down and that they knew that that was going to be the pathway. Then, of course, yes, well, we can understand that the principle behind this, and we acknowledge the fact that there will be many people in the spirit world who have also had a physical life and have passed from the same dis-ease, who will then be around them and show them how to cope with the actual fact of them passing and taking that decision. And of course, this will also have a bearing depending upon whether the person who passed actually went with the consent of their family or, as in the case of an assisted suicide, or actually went against the family and the family's wishes. And, of course, that, too, will be a situation which will be very, very difficult to actually take upon themselves because they will have to overcome it. They will have to overcome those pressures of thought coming from others in the physical life who had loved them and who had wished perhaps that they hadn't taken that choice or that avenue of life. Do you see?
Absolutely, yes. So there's no judgment, but there's help for from like-minded people who have the benefit of hindsight.
Yes, absolutely
really,
so.
Can
yes,
and mentor perhaps, them.
Yes, absolutely so, friend. And perhaps centuries on after their passing, they have come to understand and perhaps will actually be doing a great deal of work to help others understand. Perhaps not maybe others who have actually gone through suicide themselves in the spirit world, now present in the spirit world, but perhaps they were actually very judgmental in their physical life about people who took their own lives. And so perhaps these people who actually went through this process will maybe give them some lessons out of their ignorance.
You also
out of their as a way out of their previous ignorance.
So while we're dispelling myths and that sort of thing and getting some truth and facts, you often hear it said also that from people that say that that these people will become stuck and they're
yes.
in limbo. They
yes.
don't go anywhere. They are just in a void in the spirit world or whatever.
Yes, yes, perhaps because their activity has been against God or
yes,
something
usually,
like that.
Maybe, yeah, possibly from that. Coming
yes.
from that angle.
Some catastrophic reason.
Yes, yes. Or even even some psychics and mediums say that as well because,
yes.
Well, they just, I guess, haven't got the truth, the ability to find the truth.
Or so the compassion within themselves,
yes,
perhaps.
So it's whatever fits, and, well, if I say that, then...
That takes care of that, and I don't have to think
yes.
any more
yes,
about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So, so a bit like reincarnation, really, then?
Yes, yes, much like that.
Yes.
So, but is there any truth to that at all, that people
no.
are in limbo?
No,
not. I mean, you've
not
just said
at all.
That they're
no.
showered with love, but
yes.
is this in all cases? Because presumably...
In all cases of suicide.
If they have actually thought it through to some degree, even maybe not taking very long to think it through...
Yes.
They will be expected in the spirit world by
yes.
by somebody. By
yes, of course they will.
Even if they haven't got friends and relatives in the spirit world or family, you know, they will have guides.
Of course.
You know, a spirit team, spirit group, their soul group.
Of course. But we're not saying that this to encourage people to commit suicide.
Oh,
we're
no.
saying this as a way, it's not a way out for human beings ordinarily to take their lives. Quite simply because it is much better for you as a human being and as a spirit having a physical existence, if you can, to continue with that existence for as long as possible. I'm saying, however, that for some people that just is not an option because they cannot take that kind of pressure or cannot take that kind of pain or cannot take the whole reasoning behind other people's already remedied physical lives. That's the point, that people are usually coming from this concept and their lives are all right.
Mm.
That's the point I'm trying to make here. Their lives are all right. They don't really know, not really, they don't really know how that person is feeling deep inside.
We can't know that about anybody, I don't think, how anybody truly feels.
Yes. So you see, in that way, I'm saying it's very judgmental and you are taking upon a condition which is not yours because you are coming from a place which you do not have to suffer that fate.
Am I right in thinking, though, that these people that do this, while at the same time, sometimes they might not regret doing it, the reasons why they did it, but surely they do feel guilty about the people... they've left behind, if presumably they've got somebody that they've left behind. If they haven't, then I suppose the guilt wouldn't so much come into it.
Yes, let us talk then about the guilt here. The guilt will only last as long as the loved ones whom that person has left behind wish to continue with the judgment that they make upon them.
Or the upset.
Or the upset or whatever that is. If they can find it in their hearts and minds that the situation, in fact, was really one of miscommunication and the system of failure was not resting upon anyone's shoulders, then you would find, in fact, that human beings in the physical form would actually be able to cycle away from the distress caused by a loved one who has taken their own life.
Hmm. Yes, so basically we here, left on the Earth plane, are the people, the ones that will carry on the torment, in a way.
Yes, quite so,
you know, yes. To stop them actually feeling the benefit of having possibly think that they've made the right decision, shall we say.
Yes, and of course, and much of this actually comes from a very selfish attitude that the person has. And I understand, too, many people on the physical side of life would say, well, yes, but the suicidee took a very selfish attitude.
Yeah, you hear that a lot.
Yes, and I do understand that as well. But the point, however, to make here is that you are making a judgment. You are the one who is casting a judgment upon that situation. Perhaps for the suicidee, it was the most difficult decision they would ever be able to make in the physical form. That's something that is unequivocal, because the decision made is one of eternity.
Do they ever feel like they've missed out on the whole? There's a section of their life that they've missed out on, that final end bit that they would never have known how that would have played out
and how it would have resolved itself.
Yes.
Well, yes, and I do accept that there are many on our side of life who have gone through this situation themselves, committed suicide, and that they feel as though there were, in fact, errors in their life that caused them to make those decisions, and that they made those decisions in error. I cannot doubt that.
Mm.
And that's a fact.
Mm.
And that in actual fact, that doesn't mean to say then that they then become morose and remorseful over that situation. They have to learn to be able to overcome their prejudices, as well as the prejudices of others who, so say, loved them.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. What about assisted suicide? What do you feel about that?
Well, of course. Now, very often assisted suicide is with the blessing of other members of the family group. And at times, even if there are members of the family group who do not agree, they may even come around to actually visiting with the suicidee in their last days or in their final hours or minutes, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
and will actually be present, because they will actually come to say goodbye. And I understand, too, that many people who have taken this route actually feel quite relieved in some respects that they were actually able to be with their loved one that last time and share in that experience. Because after all, actually, if it is an assisted state of the situation, then it will be a relatively painless passing.
Mm. Yes. So I think a lot of people do say that, don't they? It's not when so much as it's how.
Yes, absolutely.
That
so.
They're not looking forward to.
Yes, absolutely so.
Yeah.
And that's the point, really.
Mm.
And most assisted suicides, of course, are through barbiturate poisoning or something like that, which actually is something that it does take a while to do, a number of hours, actually, take place.
Mm.
But the person actually becomes unconscious, lapses into a coma way before that.
Yeah.
And so it's really just a situation of the whole body system shutting down, and they actually physically don't feel anything at all.
Mm. So, and obviously you've said before that the passing for everybody, no matter how you go, is the same for everybody.
Yes, everything else is just the physical description of what you see, that person agonizing through in the way of their passing. It may be, maybe perhaps they suffered from some terribly traumatic physical thing, like they had a limb chopped off or something like that, or perhaps it was something else much more subtle. each way of passing is only the physical remnant of that passing, what actually you view as is happening to that physical body. That's not what the spirit and the consciousness of that person remembers. Yes, I know they remember it in order to perhaps bring it back to you, perhaps by saying the way that that person passed or something like that. It may be that that is a part of the situation. However, that doesn't mean to say that that being is still suffering from it. As I have always said and will continue to say, it is just a part of the conscious memory, the cellular memory of what happened to the physical state of life in their time of life.
And for anybody that's listening that has lost somebody and maybe they might be feeling a little emotional about this subject, can you explain the actual death process? Because it's not painful, is it?
No, it isn't. It's just like stepping outside of yourself. If you can imagine, my dear friends, that you are in almost a dream state, shall we say, your last and final moments will be almost as though you feel that you are going to just leave your body. And it's not the actual moment of passing is not a painful, filled situation. And in fact, what happens is that you pass between your spirit, that is, passes out between the second vertebrae of the neck and the fifth vertebrae of the thorax. And then it may well be that you as an observer, perhaps you have a psychic ability or something like that, you observe the person lying there and you see their spirit coming up through their body, through their chest, if they're lying on their back or something like that. That's absolutely correct. But the actual way of passing is through, always, through the second vertebrae of the neck and the fifth vertebrae of the thorax. And then it will be that the spirit will either go carry on in that direction or will come out frontwards or something like that.
So they can continue to learn and evolve in the spirit world, or they can
stay stagnant.
They can do what they like. Basically, they can stay and watch be with their family here.
Yes.
Or they can they can do both. I suppose they can learn in the halls of learning and do all sorts of things.
Of course,
the
they can.
The same as anybody else who passed in any other way.
Yes, of course. It may well be that for a time. Shall we say that their conscious ability or their affirmations of their spirituality is somewhat diminished, maybe? Maybe not. Maybe mm-hmm. not at all. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's something that they have just dutifully accepted in their physical life, and in which case, spiritually, it's not something that's affected them at all. In which case, of course, they would have much greater access to the spirit world than those who are perhaps leaning on the side of caution or who are actually locked in some great negativity about the situation that they have done. In which case, of course, the rest of the spirit world won't be open to them until they are able to learn past the situation that they created for themselves in their physical life and their immediate spirit journey after that physical life.
It just won't be accessible to them.
This is quite true, yes. It means to say that the access is only a gradual thing. So gradually, then, as that being begins to learn about the situations that they created, perhaps in physical life, or the mistakes they made, or perhaps that they come to accept certain attitudes of responsibility to do with their life. Personal responsibility is the key, really, to this situation. And we do not take any dim views or hold anyone to account. It's up to every individual to hold themselves to account. And that is what happens in the recompense and reconciliation process. This is a part of the spirit world which many people fail to recognize in physical reality because it just doesn't happen to figure in their lives. They do not understand that it's actually a part of their continuing existence in the spirit world once they've actually had a physical life.
Well, we don't let animals suffer like we let human beings suffer. We put them out of their misery, and I'm not saying it should ever get to that extent because
no, of course not.
Some awful things happen to animals. People, you know, and the wrong people make the wrong decisions and
yes,
all sorts of things. But
yes.
You know what I'm getting at is
yes.
it's it's ludicrous that we do let people suffer to the extent that we do.
Absolutely so. And it is quite ridiculous, really, for people to actually enable that form of judgment to outweigh any of the wishes of the sedentary physical state of the individual.
Mm.
Every individual has a right to make their choices in life. You cannot say that these choices end at a particular point.
What about the choices maybe that you make when you are of unbalanced mind, shall we say?
Yes.
For whatever reason.
Then, of course, that is a great difficulty, because it means to say, of course, that you are not perhaps in the mind, in the consciousness, to actually make those correct decisions and choices. So, therefore, naturally, I understand that others have to make those choices for you. That is why, is it not, that people become wards of court or whatever it is, or become sectioned in some way, hospitalized, in order to cope with those ravages of mind control that are perhaps loosened in their own conscious state.
Mm.
And that is really why all of those kinds of events happen, really to try to bring further understanding and to try to make that person well. I completely understand that motive and reasoning and concur with it fully, of course.
Mm. Yes. There's the Hippocratic Oath as well, isn't there? Which is another interesting situation.
Yes.
Because not everybody is able to get the form of treatment maybe that they might need medically.
Yes, quite so. Where is the Hippocratic Oath then? If you have a situation that the country in which you live does not actually allow for you to have the form of medicine that requires your longevity, that requires for you then to have a good and expedient life.
Well, absolutely.
Does it mean to say then that actually the Hippocratic Oath is only there of value towards certain people and not to others, just simply because they don't actually have the money, the material wealth, or the insurance, or the material wealth to actually be able to provide that for their physical life? That means to say then that they are actually denied that same oath of allegiance, of the sanctity of all life.
Well, there's also the situation of countries that don't, that have such enormously long waiting lists that people die when they're waiting to even get treatment.
Absolutely so. Yes,
so people are making decisions about other people's lives all of the time,
yes.
Basically.
Yes, whether it is behind closed doors and they call it something else.
Mm.
Then it conveniently becomes just a statistic of that nationality or whatever. Not, of course, to understand the full implications of the personality or the love that is lost, or some family with a parent who is passing simply because they cannot afford the treatment.
What about people who are very religious, who nevertheless they do take their own life, and they?
Yes.
What happens to them when they get to the other side? How is that dealt with if the spirit world, are supposed to be maybe demons or...
Yes, quite. Yes.
That sort of thing.
Yes,
and that they were told that if people that commit suicide, just go to the devil. I don't know what sort of religion I'm talking about, but, people with religious beliefs...
It does exist.
Yes, it does exist.
And it exists, of course.
As
a tool of power over those people so that they don't actually go out and do that. That's the point. That's the whole point about it. It's power over people. And the whole reasoning behind it is not an offense against God. It's an offense against human beings who wish to have power over you. That is the extent to it. What actually happens to those people? Well, of course, now, if that person, shall we say, has been brought up in a very strict religious doctrine, then it will be that they will still be beholden to that doctrine and perhaps will suffer great and inconsequential catastrophes and pain and everything from their conscious state.
But
quite
just
simply.
Continuing to have those thoughts.
Yes.
So it will be there, but that will be within their own mind that they will suffer. It won't be because of anything.
It won't be because of anything happening to them.
No.
It will be a product of their conscious physical state that they had as a physical being, which will, of course, as we all know, continue with them in the spirit world.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure, hopefully, we've opened a few eyes and helped a few people in their thoughts about this, because we do hear such conflicting advice, in inverted commas, advice,
yes,
from people. And who better to get it from than direct from the spirit world, from somebody who actually, I mean, it's part of your work as well, isn't it? I mean, this is what you do. You work in,
yes,
the reception chamber of in the soul groups of the spirit world to help people that pass. You deal with this all of the time, so...
Yes.
Thank you very much for this expert advice.
Thank you so. With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway in every step you take. May love always guide you. God bless.
God bless. Well, thank you so much. Oops, excuse me, I'm yodeling. Thank you so much for joining us, and do join us again on Mondays and Thursdays on the wonderful BBS radio. And if you have a suggestion for a show topic that you'd like us to cover, then email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com. Do visit us, our website, which is spirit-teaching.com. We're going to be doing some workshops, particularly in Portland, so have a look on there if you want to book up for an Akashic reading. We're here for you. Anyway, until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.